The word I feel I must venture with this evening you will find in Psalm 46 and verse 10. The 46th Psalm in the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. How precious it is that a needy soul is led by the Holy Spirit to those truths that are most beneficial for them. Those truths which alone will suffice to meet their special need. And the Lord knows each heart. He knows each individual case. He knows each individual trial or sorrow or burden that is wisely appointed for his dear children, not only to walk in, but to carry. And sometimes it is a cause of much distress, perhaps of mind, sometimes of body, but it is that which will bring them in their own feelings very low. But the mercy of God is revealed in this, that when it brings them there, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he hears them. And that blessed Spirit of truth directs them. And therefore it is not the choice of man. We have to prove this. Not all the help of man or the kind words of man will suffice to help that soul under their load. Only one word, only one who speaks with authority, only one who can fulfill the word that is spoken will be sufficient for that soul. And in this we have an example here. It was a truth that the psalmist himself had to learn in a very painful way. We've just been singing of his woeful slip, Peter's woeful slip, Peter's denial, David's adultery. These things were purposed in God's eternal purpose, not to glorify their sin, not to excuse it, but to magnify the work of his grace in appointing a way of escape, and in that way to grant the word in season from himself which should deliver them from the curse and the punishment of that which their sin deserved. You just think for a moment with Peter. What did his Saviour say to him? Depart from me, ye cursed. No, I have prayed for thee that thy strength fail not. And then he attached further to that word, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren too. Tell what I have said. Tell what I have done. Magnify the mercy you have tasted and felt, that it may be an encouragement to others who also may be in a low place, may be fallen too. Oh, how sweet it is that should be made known to we who are so unworthy of the least of his mercies. Why should he thus speak such comfortable words? And yet he ever has, and he ever will. The soul that is needy, the soul that is in distress, has a special place in the heart of a dear Saviour. He sees them feels for them in their distress. And then he comes, and then he appears, and their cry of being, Lord, help me, he puts forth that help in different ways, different means. He's sovereign in the way he answers those petitions. But this one thing is sure, he grants their desire. In that hymn we sang concerning Solomon's prayer, what was it that was the most earnest part of that prayer? To know the pardon sealed, to know his sin forgiven, to know he was being led aright, and seeking wisdom from above to order all his steps aright. David too, in his sin, he was not left completely desolate. He was brought to a true confession of it, and to feel the burden upon it upon his soul. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. No mention of one he had sinned against. Not naturally. That was the very cause of his coming in repentance. But it was to God and before God that his conscience smote him. And the Lord heard that confession. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive those sins. I have pardoned thy sin. I have put it away. But now there was to be made known the manner in which the Lord would visit him for his sin that he had committed. And you know, the babe that was born died. David looked upon it, and he saw the justice of a righteous God. But he also saw more than that. He saw the mercy that he had been pardoned for it. And therefore, he rose up from his sorrow. He rose up from his grief, and was able to glorify God. These and many other instances we trace out in the Word of God where he visits his people when he hears their cry. But our text speaks of a condition to which these seeking ones are brought. And the word that brings them to that place is the word of mercy. But it's attended with power which enables that soul to fulfill the exhortation, be still. Doubtless this text has been spoken from many, many times. But only when it comes to a soul in special need under the power, authority of the Holy Ghost, does it do good. It may sound comfortable. It may perhaps incite some with the desire that they might walk out this exhortation. But they can't fulfill that in and of ourselves. We have no strength at all. One says, "If I had no strength and I had no power either." Be still. When he speaks it, be still. Then it is accompanied with that divine power which brings it into exercise. The hymn says, be still my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonor on your God and contradict his gracious word. When he says, be still, the ear is open, the heart is softened, but it needs more than that. When he says, be still, it must be attended with living faith, to believe that he who has commanded it will do it in and for you. Ah, that's the mercy. Be still and know that I am God. It is he alone who is able to fulfill that which is needful. But David, as he seeks to praise God for this word in season, this exhortation so essential for the peace of the soul, he directs us immediately to where his hope, his help, his strength, his comfort lie. God. Know that I am God, and God is our refuge and strength. Now, except we're led to the footstool of mercy in our prayer, to view by faith this great God, who hath all things in his control and divine authority, when we are brought there, then we may view whence the comfort flows. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if there's one near unto you, one who, as we read in that 37th Psalm, has you in his care, has below beneath you his arms, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. They cannot fall. They may fear. They will at times tremble. But he, their God, their refuge and strength, upholdeth them, so that they cannot fall. And in that condition, in that experience, this text, or the first part of this text, is brought into being. Be still. The grace of submission to the will of God, which enables that one who has pleaded for help, who is proved that there is one able to form their refuge, to lie submissive in his hand, and know no will but his. You see, this is the experience that the living soul will know. He won't know it all the time. We're not always in this spot and place where we need this exhortation. Not always. The Lord, in his wisdom, may appoint for us, for a time, a smooth path. He may grant us a felt sense of his presence. He may bless our soul with a knowledge of sin forgiven. And then, oh, what a lifting up in heart and spirit there is of thanksgiving. It seems in that place that you cannot, as it were, bring forth enough praise unto God for his mercy. And there is not then the need or the desire felt for this word to be spoken, to be still. I say I would praise him more and more, or I would, as it were, run in the ways of the Lord and exalt his holy name in obedience to his command. or run in his ways, never be tired. Go forward. Not be still. But that season may only be for a time. The Lord knows the need to bring us back to this basic prayer. Lord, help me. A very present help in trouble. Oh, have we proved this? Have you proved it? Those troubles that sometimes seem, they will overwhelm our poor mind and heart. When trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud, can we say then, as the psalmist here proved, he near my soul has always stood. He's fulfilled his promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though many things around us give way, all around our soul give way. He then is still my hope and stay. And that is the foundation upon which this exhortation rests. Be still and know that I am God. Infinite wisdom, boundless power, one who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind, has you in his hand. The Lord upholdeth, held up, and while he's holding you, you'll be content to be still. It's when the old nature works that we become so restless. It is when our own mind turns this way and that to seek some other way of deliverance to that which the Lord has ordained, that we become restless. To be still graciously is a blessing designed alone for the child of God. And what a mercy those times are given when, midst all our fears and sins and woe, his mercy will not let me go. His love will never change. His commands will never fail. And his exhortations will be heeded. Be still and know that I am God. In the psalm that we read, and we'll just notice briefly a few points from it, we have such variations in experience. We have the two sides. David, in this psalm, is looking both at the wicked and the righteous. He's looking at those who are enemies of God, and he's looking at those who are the favored subjects of his choice, who taste of his mercy and receive of his promises. And because the psalmist himself knew what it was to come into trouble, he exhorts in this psalm where that soul should flee. In another psalm he says, I will flee unto God to hide me. Oh, what an hiding place is provided for those who feel their poverty, their weakness, and that great need to have one near unto them who cannot fail. The 37th psalm is a very well-known one. But in it, we notice afresh that what the psalmist speaks of, he is taught has been taught, and through it to teach others that only profitable path in which to walk. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. We do oftentimes, until the Lord says, be still. And why can we be still when he says it? Because David says, the wicked shall be cut off. They shall be cut down like the grass. Wither as the green herb. They cannot kill. They may offend. They may distress. But they cannot destroy. Be still and know that I am God. Ah, said David's God, in these things, this is the way I would have you to walk. And in this way, the saints of God, even from the beginning, have been led to be given a right understanding of that which shall be profitable for their soul and glorifying to God. The evildoer shall be cut off. They're in his hand too, but it's the hand of condemnation, the hand wherein his wrath is made known. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They shall all perish, but trust in the Lord and do good. And it is these precious exhortations of obedience to the command of God that are made the strength and comfort of a soul that is walking in the paths of righteousness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Be still, and in that trust, commit thy way to him. Tell him your case. Tell him your fears. Tell him your desires. What is it your soul, your inmost soul longs for from him? Is it not that you may delight in him? In that work he has so perfectly completed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, to do that, we shall have to, for a moment or two, in experience, pause. If we're so taken up, or overburdened, or with cares, anxieties, and the things that surround us in this world, our heart cannot be in that place of delighting in the Lord. There must be a time of quietness. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And in that trust that he is wrought in your heart, he shall bring to pass what? The desires of thine heart. Now, the Lord looks down upon each one of us this night. What does he see in our heart? What is that desire that is seen by God? An omniscient God, it cannot be hidden. Is it that which has been wrought by the blessed Spirit of truth to that soul in bringing them to seek the revelation clearly made to them of that which shall be for their eternal joy? He'll bring it to pass, the desire that he has placed there, the desire of the righteous, will ever be up to him. Up to the God of righteousness, that righteousness may be their portion. What is it the prophet Isaiah, I think, says, he hath clothed me in a robe of righteousness. The desire of our soul then will be that we may be clothed in his righteousness and not be found naked in that day when all must appear before him, when all things will be made plain. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart when we are enabled to be still and delight ourselves in him, to meditate. The psalmist says in another psalm, my meditation of him shall be sweet. And what was the source of that meditation? What must it be if we are to find peace and rest and quietness? It is the miracle of redeeming love. That love which coming from heaven itself is made known in the heart of every chosen vessel of mercy. The love of Christ. Oh, it is sweet when it's felt within. He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Plead for it again and again. But when that time of quietness is granted, be still and know that I am God. All things are mine. I created all things for my glory. And that which your heart desires is for my glory. In his righteousness complete. That's a desire. Commit thy way to him. Oh, pour out your heart before him and say, Lord, that's all my desire. That's all my longing to be found in thee, clothed in thy righteousness, washed from my sins, made meet and fit. What for? In this psalm, the word of man of God tells us what it is that they are waiting for and longing for. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. It is that eternal inheritance that is the fruit of this waiting upon the Lord. And surely, when we are given a little view of that heritage, we want to be quiet. We want to be still. And think on that, those things which are altogether glorious. They speak to the soul. They speak to the conscience. They speak to the heart. And the Lord says, be still. Know that I am God. I will bring it to pass. That which I have spoken, that which I have created, must surely be brought to fruition, even in thee, poor troubled heart, those who are weary and heavy laden, it shall be fulfilled, even in thee, for he has said, he did say, it is finished, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Be still in the Lord. Are the consolations of God small with thee? Oh, if he says, be still, my soul will be content. To see the salvation of the Lord made known clearly, that seal and witness might be sweetly realized, that we sang all in our hymn. give me to read my pardon sealed, and from thy joy to draw my strength, to have thy matchless love revealed in all its height and breadth and length. Be still. When Solomon prayed this prayer, you remember he was low before God. He was bowed before Almighty God. He gave thanks unto him who had placed him in that high position. But he confessed while there his need of one to rule and reign and guide and direct him aright. And that prayer was heard. Dost thou say, ask what thou wilt? Lord, I would seize the golden hour. It is a golden hour when the Lord says, be still and know thy God, able to save to the uttermost. The God who loves to hear and answer prayer. I pray to be released from guilt and freed from sin and Satan's power. More thy presence, Lord, I cry. Well, be still then. Fear not. Fear not. I will not leave thee. This applies individually, as well as collectively to his church. I will not leave thee. Thou art mine, a peculiar treasure. Therefore, rest in the Lord. He has said, and shall he not do? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not over the wicked in all their goings, in all their apparent prosperity. Seek not their power. Oh, David was brought to see clearly the fruit of evil. He saw it in King Saul. He saw there the solemn judgment of God against sin in Saul, and how he removed from him his power, his presence, and his health, that he was left destitute. David also came low, but never to be left there. And as he meditates on these things, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit, the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So throughout this psalm, we have these two sides again and again. But the mercy David proved when he was enabled to be still was to see and feel and know the security of the God in whom he trusted, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And sometimes in the midst of dire trouble or sore distress, faith enables that soul to look beyond all that causes their fears. And as they quietly meditate upon the promises of God that are given to the poor and needy that wait by the way, they hear this voice. They feel its power. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And of whom, to whom does this refer? The days of the upright. The Lord knows them. He has appointed that path, and he will not change. We change. our feelings change. But when we are brought rightly to consider the wonders of this love of God through Christ his dear Son, the miracle of redemption his, that is made over to those that wait for him and plead earnestly for the blessing that is sure, eternal, then they are quiet. Then they are quiet. And they know what it is truly to be still. Be silent before me, says the Lord. And in that silence, the heart waits for the Lord to speak. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I wait for thee. Oh, come now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Now, says the psalmist, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand, safe, secure, surrounded. And it's all love, and it's all mercy, that is tasted and known and sweetly realized. He is ever merciful, and his seed is blessed. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever. Think on these things, says the wise man. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And it's sometimes in that quietness, when we are still before God, still in our poor minds, still in our conscience, still in our heart's desires, waiting only upon him. The law of his God is in his heart. And where that abounds and rules and reigns, there is no turning aside. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Oh, there be no hindrance in that song of thanksgiving when this favour is realised. When the quietness has been granted. When peace reigns within. I will be exalted, says our God. I will be exalted among the heathen. David could testify. Paul could testify. Even amongst the unbelievers. The mercy of God, my God, endureth forever. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. A banner to be displayed that tells out that mercy which comes to those who to whom this word is spoken. Be still. Know that I'm God. Fret not. Fret not because other things take place which others seem to enjoy, which you seem never to be partakers in. Fret not yourself over those things. It is with single eye and single heart that this God will be exalted and worshipped. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. Trust him. Commit your way to him. And believe that what he hath promised, he will surely fulfill in bringing you into that inheritance. What a glorious prospect is given to such who quietly wait, humbly at his mercy seat, and plead what he has done for their never dying soul, which brings into exercise this good hope that it shall be well with me. Oh, such seasons are profitable, and they do honour our God. Be still and know that I am God.